On CNN last night, 10 Democrats running for president laid out their plans to address climate change. There was a lot to take in 7 hours of back-to-back town halls. NPR senior political editor and correspondent Domenico Montanaro joins us to talk about it. Hi, Domenico.
Hey, Jeremy.
So all of the Democrats seek to decarbonize the economy in some fashion within a few decades with alternative fuels. Is there a lot of difference in their plans?
Well, there's not a ton of difference. I mean, these are Democrats who all believe that man-made climate change is real. They all believe that something needs to be done about it. They have some variations on how far they would go. And all of them pretty much think something like the Green New Deal, they either endorse parts of it or they think it's a good vision for the country. Mm-hmm. Some people would do more incremental steps and others would do bigger things.
One of the candidates who has a pretty ambitious plan is Bernie Sanders. $16 trillion, including banning fracking and banning subsidies to fossil fuel companies. He outlined some of the ways he'd pay for it. Here he is.
We are not going to have to spend money on the military defending oil interests around the world. We can cut military spending there as well. Fourthly, our program will create up to 20 million good-paying jobs over the period of the 15 years. And when we do that, you're going to have a lot of taxpayers out there who will be paying more in taxes. You'll have people who are not getting food stamps and so forth.
So he's making the case of how he would pay for this. Tell us more about what Sanders wants to do.
You know, I thought it was interesting because Bernie Sanders, on so many issues, wants to be the boldest possible candidate, to be the clearest contrast to President Trump as possible. He got into a little bit of a controversy when he said that President Trump was an idiot because he didn't believe in climate change. He tried to clarify that last night and said that he just felt that the way he operates when it comes to climate change, the fact that he's in the White House and could rally the world around a climate change plan is, quote, idiotic. He was asked about Trump's supporters and he sort of walked a fine line and said, no, he doesn't think that applies to their supporters because the president's the one who can make all of these changes if he wanted to.
But ambitious plans from Sanders, as we heard there, Elizabeth Warren also supporting a carbon tax. That's a tax or penalty on carbon dioxide pollution. That's new for her. The idea was not in the $3 trillion plan that she debuted yesterday. Warren was asked how she would help fossil fuel industry workers in a place like Port Arthur, Texas, where a refinery is a big employer.
That's not the only job in Port Arthur over the next 20 years. I've seen Port Arthur. Port Arthur is going to need a lot of infrastructure rebuilding and strengthening. It's going to need a lot of help right on the water. Those are good jobs. Those are union jobs. Those are skilled jobs. We have a lot of work to do, and I hope the workers in Port Arthur will be a big part of that.
How does that come off, Domenico?
You know, it's funny. Elizabeth Warren has been criticized today by a lot of Republicans for, these sort of attacks on her that she wants to eliminate people from eating cheeseburgers, that you want to get rid of straws. And they think that that's kind of petty and helps their case. But what Warren said to that last night was essentially that's not the point. 70% of the pollutants come from three industries. And she said the reason people talk about these small bore things like she's talking about with Port Arthur there and why we should be talking bigger about it is because you have to look at the people that she said who make the big bucks from polluting the earth.
Amy Klobuchar is a centrist from the Midwest in a state that Trump won. In a state that had a lot of Trump voters in it. Here's what she had to say last night.
And I think you got to be honest with people about how you're going to get the money and what you're going to spend it on, or it's going to be really hard to bring along those people that we need to win in the middle of the country. We have to win the Senate if you really want to move this. We need a different majority leader than Mitch McConnell. We've been stopping.
She does not support a ban on fracking, but does support a ban on drilling on public land. She gets a grade of C- on climate change from Greenpeace. Who does that moderate approach appeal to in a Democratic primary?
Well, it's tough in a Democratic primary, right? And, you know, we've got this next debate. I'm going to be really curious to see how Amy Klobuchar makes the case for herself because, you know, in that second round of debates, we had the moderate wing of the party sort of piling on Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. You don't have that in this debate because you've only got 10 candidates. Joe Biden and Amy Klobuchar are really the only two sort of moderate Senate-like candidates. And she's arguing, look, you need to move in a direction that acknowledges climate change, that does some things to move that forward, but you can't win an election, is her argument, and bring on board the people who don't want to see such big change in such a fast way.
Let's talk about Joe Biden, the front runner in the race right now. Anderson Cooper, the host on the program, pressed Biden about a fundraiser he'd been planning to attend tonight with the co-founder of a liquid natural gas exporter, even though Biden signed a no fossil fuel money pledge. Here's that exchange.
If you're going to a fundraiser that's given in part by this guy who has a company that is pulling up natural gas, are you the right guy to go after this?
Well, I didn't realize he does that. I was told if you look at the SEC filings, he's not listed as one of those executives. That's what we look at, the SEC filings. Who are those executives? I've kept that pledge, period.
So is that, are you going to look at that fundraiser tomorrow night?
I'm going to look at what you just told me and find out if that's accurate. Yes.
Okay. I think it's pretty accurate.
The Biden campaign says the donor is not involved in day-to-day operations of the fossil fuel company. What do you make of that?
You know, it's not a good look. I mean, you've got a primary where you've got a lot of voters in Democratic politics. Climate change has now risen to be, in most polling, the second most important issue behind healthcare. So you talk to them, and especially young voters. There's such a generational shift where you have younger voters under 30 years old who really feel this is an urgent issue. They don't even see this as like, you know, one of the issues we have to deal with, which is kind of how some of the senators kind of talk about it in Congress. They talk about it as changing their lifestyles. Some people considering not having children because of it. You know, we saw all this stuff about hamburgers, right? And not flying. And, you know, really taking those things to heart. So when they hear of something like this, it certainly lends to why Joe Biden has this enthusiasm gap with younger voters versus the older voters who do support him.
I want to listen to one more piece of tape. This is Beto O'Rourke, who came out last night against a carbon tax in favor of a cap and trade program that would force polluters to cut emissions. And he pledged help for people in flood-prone areas, such as parts of Houston hit hard during Hurricane Harvey.
We should help people move when they need to move, when they have repaired their homes not once, not twice, but three times just in the last 5 years, because Houston, Texas, the example you gave, has witnessed three 500-year storms in 5 years. They should be good for 1,500 years, but they're not. Because if we listen to the scientists, and I do, we know that those storms are going to become ever more frequent.
You know, Domenico, on the issue of guns, we talk a lot about how there are so many people now in this country who've been directly affected by mass shootings. Are we in the same situation with climate change, where people have had direct experience with very severe storms that they're not used to, and that is going to drive them to vote in the way that O'Rourke is appealing to there?
Yes, to the first part of your question. It's not clear to the second part whether there'll actually be a voting issue for them, because I think that there are a lot of people who are impacted by climate change. You think about some of these 100-year storms, as Beto O'Rourke puts out there. You think about the Mississippi River overflowing and flooding some of those riverside communities that have been there for centuries. And a whole host of other things when it comes to the severity of storms, wildfires in California, the more prevalence of a lot of these things. The question is whether or not people in those communities believe it's definitely linked to climate change or not, even though it is. And what makes the threshold change for them to not say that they have to recover and want more money to be able to live in the same place? Or are people going to start migrating?
I just want to ask you one more thing. You know, we heard a lot of ambitious proposals last night. I remember that President Obama tried to pass cap and trade legislation when he had control of both houses of Congress in his first term, and he couldn't do it. Do any of these plans stand a chance?
He certainly tried to pass a cap and trade bill. It wound up putting a lot of actually Democrats in the House at risk. You remember Joe Manchin when he ran for re-election in West Virginia? He shot a bullet through the cap and trade bill. That was part of his advertising plan. So the problem with a lot of these plans is they're not going to get through Congress. And so much of it is aspirational, though, that they want to be able to put it out and say this is their vision.
Domenico Montanaro, senior political editor and correspondent for NPR. Thank you.
You're so welcome.